Pleased to be joined now by Trevor Linden, the president of hockey operations for the Vancouver Canucks. First of all, thanks so much for stopping by. Maple Leafs facing off against your Vancouver Canucks later on this evening. Starting today, what is priority number one for Trevor Linden early in January?
I think it's on, you know, there's lots of different levels I think about, but I think, first of all, it's getting healthy. Yep. You know, I look at our group before, I guess December 5th was the night Bo got hurt, yep. And that kind of, you know, triggered Sven Berchi got broke his jaw 2 nights later. Kristanov went out 2 nights later. Sutter was already out. So, you know, if our group can get healthy, I mean, I don't know if I have much control over that, but, you know, getting healthy would be a good start. You know, the other thing on another level, we're doing our amateur scouting meetings here in Toronto over the last couple of days. We're going to continue the next couple of days as well. And just that's always an exciting part of, I know you're
sure, yeah.
You know, follow it closely, Jeff, and certainly you do as well, John. And that's, you know, for our group, that's probably the most important part of our business right now is the amateur draft. I think we've done a good job there last couple of years, and we're starting to develop a real nice group of prospects, something that the Vancouver organization hasn't seen in a few years based on where they were in the standings. And, mm-hmm. and you know, so that's been a real positive.
I would have maintained a year ago at this time that there were hardcore fans in your market that would have said, yeah, I don't see us having much hope. And you guys have been pretty honest and pretty transparent about where you are. And I think that you've done and Jim's done a really good job of turning a lot of that doubt into hope for the fan base, don't you think?
I think it's interesting. This is our fourth year. You know, even after the first year where we had 101 points and made the playoffs, there was still this mm-hmm. unsatisfaction with things because I think our fans recognize that they wanted to see the next group of players that could form the core group of this Vancouver Canucks organization. And I think it's, you know, and I think it started last year at trade deadline. You know, we made the difficult decision of moving in Alex Burrows and Yannick Hansen and got some young pieces back. And, you know, I think the next positive thing in our market was, you know, bringing in Travis Green, a good young coach. And I think it was looked upon as having a positive draft last year. And then probably the most positive thing in our marketplace was the hockey game we played in July. at Rogers Arena. It was a prospects game. Yep. It was at the end of our prospects camp, and you know, just our fans being able to see the likes of Jonathan Dahlin and Hugh Levely and Pettersson and Lind and Gajovic and Gaudette was there, Lockwood, you know, Demko. It was and I think our fans are as you say, John, starting to see the formation of the next group of Vancouver Canucks, albeit they're young, they're not here, they're in junior, they're in college, they're sure. playing in Europe, but I think there is as you say, there's some hope there. And I think that it's buoyed by prior to getting banged up with injuries, and every team goes through injuries, so it's certainly not an excuse, but I think that our fans were excited about the style of play that Travis had our group playing. I think Brock coming in and doing what he's done this year has been it's been pretty special. I know for me, when I put my fan hat on, it's been a lot of fun.
So is it safe then with Trevor Linden, is it safe then to say for Vancouver Canucks fans, their favorite team is clearly the Vancouver Canucks, but their second favorite team is Vekwa of the Swedish yeah. league for Elias Pettersson?
Yeah, I think so. I think outside of Brock and the excitement that he's brought to our fans, I do think that, you know, it just goes to show you the passion in our market for Vancouver Canucks hockey. There is in tune with what our prospects are doing, whether it be Cole Lind or Elias Pettersson. Certainly he's on display here at the World Junior closer to home, but regardless of what time he plays in, you know, back home in Sweden, our fans know it. So that's safe to say. And, you know, I mean, that's natural. He's an exciting young player.
You must every now and then take a sort of step back and think to yourself, you see what Brock Besser is doing and you see what Pettersson is doing and you say to yourself, got a right shot sniper who's here right now. I got a left shot sniper who's on the horizon. How close do you think a player like Pettersson could be to making that next step into the NHL? Like
I don't think it's time, it's weight, isn't it? He's got to put 15 pounds on.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because Brock had if we look at Brock's situation, you know, Ryan Johnson worked with Brock extensively, you know, through his career. And, you know, his first year in college was outstanding. Last year, had a bad wrist, and, you know, I think you kind of take some things for granted as a young player. And So then we weren't really sure. You know, you never know how that translates and how quickly that translates to the National Hockey League. And you know, with Elias, he's playing in a men's league and at a weight that you know, he's not. But he's got the, you know, real competitive mindset and he's got good balance on his skates. And sometimes it's not, you know, how much you weigh. It's how it's just your sturdiness. And, you know, I mean, when you think of a guy like Peter Forsberg, and I'm not mm-hmm. comparing him to Peter Forsberg, but Peter was mm-hmm. a very slight guy. And you look at him with, you know, his, you know, his little toothpicks for arms. Mm-hmm. But boy, was he a strong and competitive type guy. So, you know, with Elias, it's going to be, you know, we're going to have to sit down at the end of the year and see where he's at. And but I, you know, what he's done in the Swedish Elite League has been pretty impressive.
So I think we're all endorsing what you guys have done with your development. That leads me to think that the guy who's been a key figure in that, and Jim Benning, who's waiting for a new contract extension, where are you with that?
You know, I'm. With
Francesco's already said on the radio that they've started to talk.
Yeah, so. With any, you know, contract, oh, we're going to keep those private. But I will say this is that I think Jim came in a challenging spot, and it's taken some time. But I certainly like the direction we're headed, and Jim's a big part of that. I think Jim's real strong points are team building and how he's kind of redone the way we look at drafting and you know, we've got a lot of work in front of us. I think as an organization, I know Jim's focused on you know, having a good year, and you know, we're, you know, heading into, you know, amateur scouting meetings, pro mm-hmm. meetings. So you know, he's focused on doing the job at hand, and you know, that other part we'll get that sorted out.
You know, whenever anyone asks me who the most underrated defenseman in the NHL is, the conversation quickly gets to Chris Tanev. Do you find that in a lot of ways he's one of your best kept secrets?
I think that you know, Jeff, I think playing out west is I learned after playing 10 years in Vancouver when I went to the New York Islanders, I finally figured it out that, you know, we'd be going to bed at 11 o'clock. And this was, of course, before the internet and, you know, Twitter and all that stuff. I'd get up the next morning, not even know who played out west or what the scores were. And maybe I'd catch it later in the day. And so, but Chris is, he is a pretty, you know, he battled some injuries last year with his ankle, but he's been, for the most part, healthy. But boy, do we miss him when he's not in there. He had a mm-hmm. bit of a groin strain, which kept him out. But just his decision making and his poise and his ability to read pressure is second to none. And he's a big part of our group. Just in he makes our transition game, you know, moving out of our ends. You know, he's not a big point guy, but he does a lot of things well for our group. So, big part of our back end for sure, and I would agree with you. He's understated and doesn't create a lot of attention for himself.
For all these Eastern listeners, an update on Bo and when do you expect him back?
Yeah, Bo had a scan. I guess we left on Monday No, we left Thursday. Sorry. Yeah, we left Thursday, and he had a scan the day before and was positive. Healing was going well, so he's going to start to weight bear and skate here in the next bit. So, I mean, he's probably in around the All-Star break, you know, give or take, depending on how he goes. But, you know, I think it's a good, you know, missing him, I think it shows how important he is to our group.
Berchi tomorrow?
Sven should be in tomorrow. Brandon, potentially later this trip. I think missing both those guys in the middle has really been hard. Mm-hmm. I think it's created some challenging matchups for Travis. But Bo is just such a driver of our group, you know, really drives the offensive bus for our group, plays in all situations. And, you know, we've really missed him for sure.
You and I were together in Penticton. We talked about Daniel and Henrik, and you were adamant that they weren't going anywhere. There was no discussion. Forget about the trade deadline. So what about after this year?
Yeah.
What happens and where do the discussions go with Daniel and Henrik?
Yeah, I think that I know these guys well. I've had the great pleasure of playing with them and then being back in my current role, just getting to spend time with them on a daily basis has been really, really great. And they're just such great people. And they don't get, even when they were young players, they never got too high when things were going good, or certainly early in their career when things were challenging for them. They just kept moving along, and even this year they've had some challenge off the start, and you know, at times didn't see a lot of time, and then really came on in November, and I think they're just taking it game by game and want to be as good as they can. And I think it's going to be a situation at the end of the year, we're going to sit down and talk to them. They're going to take stock of where they are personally, where their families are, mm-hmm. kind of where their health is, where their mm-hmm. game is, and their futures. So we'll do that at the end of the year, John. I just see them as guys that are focused on playing well every night.
I would suggest that this transition to the younger core has been very successful because they bought in before anybody else.
And I think these are guys that had said all along, they welcome the day when they're not our number one offensive option. I think there were times, for the most part, in that first, you know, prior to December 5th, that was the case. It was our number one offensive options were, you know, Sven and Bo and Brock. And I think they welcome that. And I also think at the same time they're saying, that's fine, but we're still going to push. And they've played well for us. But I do think it, you know, finally, we got to the point where we could say, "Hey, we've had some young guys come in and mm-hmm. and take over for them," which has been a long time coming.
Yep.
When it is their last game, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, or whenever, will we know?
I don't know. I don't think so. You know, these guys are so special. This is such a unique situation in the National Hockey. We've seen great pairs before, whether we're you know, and of course Gretzky, Curry, sure. you know, Hall and Oates, but
they could all be separated.
Yeah, I mean, these guys have played their whole careers together, and what's so special about these guys is, and I still get just watching these guys even today, where they place pucks and they just know where each other is going to go, and we've never seen that before. I mean, this is such a unique situation. These guys will have played from the time they were 4 years old till the end of their professional career together, which is remarkable.
What's fascinating about the Sedins for me, Trevor, is in a north-south NHL, yeah. they've always been an east-west pair. And I think when it's finally done for them, that part of the game, and it's starting to come back now more than ever, but the players that went east-west when everyone went north-south, to me, that's the Sedins.
Yeah, and the way they do it, I mean, especially today when the game is all about speed and these guys continue to make things happen with just tactical play, creating space between mm-hmm. them. And it's special. It's unique. I think our fans have certainly enjoyed watching them play this year and are starting to understand that, mm-hmm. you know, it's unfortunate that I think fans in general have the habit of always you know, looking back on someone's and instead of enjoying when it's happening right in front of you. So I think our fans are realizing that they've been pretty fortunate the last 17 or 18 years.
Special players, and that market is very lucky. Trevor, thanks so much for spending some time today. Best of luck tonight against
thanks,
the Maple
guys.
Leafs. Best of luck with the scouting meetings, the trade deadline, draft, all of it. So.
And try to stay warm.
Yes. Yeah,
bundle up.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Trevor.